Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Jedi Alliance. We're on the road to episode 100. Today, we're talking about the new Rogue One trailer that dropped during the Olympic Games, as well as our thoughts on who should be cast as Lando in the young Han Solo movie. So stay with us.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Jedi Alliance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. And right today, we're going to be celebrating a whole lot of that saga. I'm one of your hosts, and it's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Today, the B stands for Bantha. Why not? I'll go back to that gimmick. Joining me is a man that I do not want to see on the other side of a trivia ring. The one and only John Rocha.
Hello, everybody. Very happy to be back. Looking forward to what we're going to talk about, especially Rogue One, especially Lando, and sadly Kenny Baker as well. But I'm happy to be here. Let's talk some Star Wars. It's been a very exhausting weekend, so I want to enjoy myself for the next hour talking Star Wars with you, obviously, Mark, and with you guys.
I'm really happy that you didn't bring the mask or the hat, because that alone would tell me what sort of business you're trying to conduct here. This is a safe environment. Yes. This is a protected space.
Yes. Big shout out to my friend Scott Mann. We had our Schmodown. If you haven't seen it, go to Collider on YouTube and watch our rematch of the movie trivia Schmodown contest. And it was a barn burner, to say the
electric.
Least.
Electric. Like, better than some of the matches in the WWE this year. Goodness me. So let's get started with news from the Holonet. A lot of stuff happened this past week. Yeah. Some happy, some sad, some very interesting. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna start with a new spot. The Star Wars Rebels Season 3 got its release date and its regular schedule. It's a quick 15-second spot. Let's take a quick look.
Star Wars Rebels premieres Saturday, September 24th at 8:30 or on any Disney XD platform.
Mm. Boom. Quick, easy. Any Disney XD platform. That's what I like. That means it's premiering on digital at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Smart.
Very smart.
Does the prime weekend time slot sort of indicate the tone of the season?
Yes, I think so. That's the first thing that jumped out at me because I was like, whoa, this is something that's late at night for kids, 8:30 p.m. It's still in that golden hour of 8 to 9, but it's later on in that time frame. So it's letting you know that they're going to be addressing, like they've been building to over the first two seasons, more adult themes, more adult stuff. Even that 15-second trailer, there's no like happy, goofy, funny little stuff going on at all. They let you know this is what the season's going to be about. They get you excited to see it and what they're going to explore. So yeah, to me, this makes the most sense.
Could you imagine if they started with that tease instead of the story trailer? Just go, wait, was that Thrawn? Holy crap. Like, that
just went out.
That teases everything that you need to know about the new season.
Yeah.
And I totally agree that the time change indicates that parents should be home while their children are watching this show.
Exactly.
And we're going to be getting a hell of a season. Next, moving on to a little bit more of a sadder news. Mm. Earlier this week, we found out that Kenny Baker had passed away at the age of 81. Sad to see anybody go. According to family, this was sort of expected.
Yeah.
He's been not doing too well for a little while. He's had lung problems. He's been in a wheelchair. He still wanted to go to Celebration, but his doctor's like, wait.
Yeah.
He couldn't make it to the premiere of episode 7.
Yeah.
But George Lucas got a chance to come out and visit him before his time. What is Kenny's legacy? Because you look at R2 one of the greatest cinema characters, let alone characters in the Star Wars universe, but and in a huge body of work attached to it as well.
Yeah. Well, I think people have just this reverence for Kenny from different segments of society, I would say. You know, there's a certain segment that maybe is not too into Star Wars, but loves Time Bandits, like a little quiet niche. He's so fantastic at Time Bandits. He's covered the spectrum. He's been in so many things. And of course, R2-D2. And R2-D2 is obviously going to be the one that he's remembered for the most. Mm-hmm. And I know when I worked on Sunday at Universal Studios, two of my friends came in wearing Star Wars shirts. And I said, is there something going on today? And they're like, no, we're wearing it in honor of the death of Kenny Baker. And that lets you know the effect he has on people and the love and the reverence, because you never hear anything, you never heard anything negative about Kenny through all the years, through all the times. In fact, the tweets from Ewan McGregor, the tweets from Mark Hamill were just so great and moving and perfect and let you know how revered and loved Kenny Baker is. So to me, that's his legacy, is that people look at R2-D2 and they see his personality in that droid and that droid's personality in Kenny Baker. So they're just intertwined.
Very rarely do you really get to take a look at a person behind a masked character or a controlled character. And Kenny Baker has always been on the forefront.
Yeah.
He's always been a part of the conversation as a very important part of what makes R2-D2 R2.
Yeah.
My wife has a very wonderful interaction with Kenny Baker.
Oh.
Back before conventions were huge.
Yeah.
There was a small Star Wars convention that you went to as a child and said that Kenny Baker was the nicest person.
Oh.
The absolute nicest person. Yeah. Has a picture with him, has an autograph from him, and just... She was absolutely devastated at this news. And I think the entire Star Wars world as a whole was as well. But heck of a legacy.
Absolutely.
Wonderful man, wonderful performer.
Yeah.
Will beyond be missed.
Yeah, and at 81 years old, like, for a little person, their health is not always the greatest in their time on Earth, you know? And so to have lasted for 81 years, and his niece or nephew, whoever was the spokesperson for their family.
The niece,
yeah, she explained he had a lot of physical problems, a lot of physical ailments. So there was a lot going on for many years with him. And so the time came, but 81 is long enough, I think, to have left, like you said, a very lasting legacy, but like always will be remembered and missed. Mm-hmm. And to have left an imprint on this earth for many generations to come. You know, you can't ask for more than that.
100% agree. In a little bit of news that we were expecting.
Yes.
Disney has announced a 3D Blu-ray release of The Force Awakens with additional special features, including new deleted scenes, as we talked about when the Blu-ray first came out, a new J.J. Abrams commentary, a piece on the Foley artists that made the sound effects of The Force Awakens, and of course, all of them in one place, the exclusive, quote-unquote, special features that were for different retailers.
Yeah.
All in one package. It's a 3D Blu-ray, a high def or a DVD, and I think a bonus DVD of a 3D DVD, Blu-ray, four discs.
Yeah.
Just madness.
Digital copy.
Digital copy.
All that
just nonsense.
Yes.
Just fine. You can say nonsense because I totally agree with you. How many, and I think we talked about this when the first DVD was announced as well, but how many times is Disney going to go back to the well?
Well, I think this is it for now until the trilogy comes out as a thing. Like what Lord of the Rings did, right? They waited till they released their initial, then they went an extra 45 minutes.
Extended ones.
Right. And then when the trilogy was over, they released this massive box set, which had even more footage on it. Mm-hmm. We saw that happen when the lead up to Force Awakens. We saw that happen with Return of the Jedi, with Empire Strikes Back. With all the six movies that came out, they brought out all these new additional features that were available, and you could see some of them on YouTube. So, yeah, I mean, they're a business. That's their job, to kind of get as much money as possible. And unless you're a very young film goer or you've been living under a rock for the last two decades, you understand how the studios work. You've come, you are willfully participating in this bargain. The second you buy an initial release of any movie that is this revered, this well-loved, and has this kind of a legacy, you know that a bigger package is coming, so you can't complain when they actually do what they've always been doing for the last 10 to 15 years.
The one thing that does kind of get my goat is for the folks who are watching the video version of the podcast, see the Blu-ray has the same print on it.
Yes!
So it's like they made that and just like, well, let's make twice as many for when we re-release it. And it's like, you could have changed the image on the Blu-ray. Come on, help us out. Well, John, when it comes to packages that you do want to see come to your door.
Yes.
I'm going to talk a little bit about Blue Apron. This episode is sponsored by Blue Apron, and I wasn't entirely a believer until I started getting them. I know yours are still on their way.
Yes.
With Blue Apron, not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients taste better and are better for you, so it's important to know where your food comes from. And with Blue Apron, it's all fresh. It's all individually wrapped. I didn't know if it was just like, here's a grocery bag, but all of the small stuff comes packaged in a bag so that it doesn't get away from each other, so you don't mix ingredients. Fresh vegetables come as well. So far, I've had two out of three meals that they sent. One of them was a Korean spicy Korean chicken with little rice cakes. Amazing. I'm going to seek out those ingredients now. Yeah. And then we had a barbecue pork sandwiches with fried onions and garlic corn on the cob. I would beyond recommend this.
Okay.
It takes a lot of preparation. It's quick, but you need a lot of like, oh, I need a plate to put this on and a bowl to put this in. Yeah. Into this. But aside from that, it makes you feel like a professional chef. It's beyond crazy to me.
Yeah.
For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. And that's another thing is you don't go to the supermarket, buy four tomatoes and go, well, I guess I'll need one, and then three go bad.
Right.
It says you need three cloves of garlic for three recipes. That's an entire clove of garlic. They send you an entire clove. Wow. They send you what you need in order and a little bit more just so that you can get everything covered.
That's amazing.
It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And the instructions are easy to follow. And I'm not just saying that. They have big pictures of everything that you need step by step.
Yeah.
And you can customize your recipes each week. They give you an option of six. You can pick three, and you can select pescatarian. You can select vegetarian. You can select what sort of meal types you want. They're created each week by Blue Apron's culinary team and are not repeated within a year. Wow. So you can go an entire year without getting a repeated recipe. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free. That's absolutely free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Jedi. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. This is one of the products that I have been waiting to do, waiting to cover on this show. So that's blueapron.com/Jedi. Get three free meals, free shipping. I can't recommend it enough, and I'm so excited for you to get yours that we can talk about it.
Yeah, that's great. I was already in anticipation. I'm even more in anticipation now. My mouth is watering. I'm looking forward to this. So, yeah, this sounds fantastic, and I don't know why people wouldn't jump on it. I get it. Maybe it's a financial concern, but if you can afford it, why not do it? Because all of us are busy. We're all working multiple jobs now, trying to stay alive in whatever city we're in, whatever we're doing. Sometimes it's difficult to get everything together, and you cop out, and you go and get fast food when you know it's not good for you, and you're going to pay for that later in the doctor's office 10, 20 years from now when you pay a little bit more, or you pay a little bit now, and you can avoid all that down the road because you're eating healthy meals, fresh products, like you said, fresh ingredients, and you feel better. Like when you eat better, you feel better.
Yes.
Anyone who tells you differently is lying through their teeth. When you eat better, you feel better, period. Yeah.
And Blue Apron helps you do that. I'm a firm believer in this product. Yeah. And as a newlywed where we're still kind of scrimping and scraping for cash,
of course.
It's wonderful to not worry about going to the supermarket, and for how much you pay, it would pay more going out to eat. Yeah. Like let's just go to Denny's, or let's just go to Coco's, or let's go to whatever. Let's just go out and have a nice dinner where you can make your own dinner. It just takes a little bit of time. It's a great relationship builder too, because
cook together.
My wife and I cooking together. Yeah. It's a nice little date night. Absolutely. So blueapron.com/Jedi gets you three free meals and free shipping. Thank you to Blue Apron. We thoroughly appreciate your support.
Absolutely.
So our next story in news from the Holonet. Not only was there an announcement that young Lando Calrissian is on the docket to be cast in the Han Solo movie, but Donald Glover is reportedly the first choice of Disney to play young Lando Calrissian. And looking at the picture that we have up on the screen, again, thank you to our video viewers, I can 100% see it. Just put the mustache on him.
Yeah. It looks great. He looks great. My only concern, Donald's going to have, he's going to handle the comedy no problem. He's going to be a tone perfect on the moments. That you have no doubt about. Mm-hmm. The thing is, Lando is a smooth brother. So you need to be able to convey that with your essence. That's the thing. That's why they keep bringing Billy Dee back. Billy Dee, that Lando is from his essence.
Yeah.
So you really want someone who can step in and kind of convey their version of that. Obviously, the same holds true for Alden, trying to convey his version of Han Solo, having that hair, capturing that Harrison Ford magic. So you want to see that. So this, I'm looking forward to see what he does with it, if he's the guy that's chosen. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be fine. I've never seen him be kind of a ladies' man on screen, so I would like to see how that plays out.
So have you seen any of his stuff as Childish Gambino?
Yes, of course. Okay. All the raps and whatever, yeah.
So that stuff is a little bit more, can be a little bit more dramatic. Yes. Can be a little bit more of a story where he's a comedian.
Yes.
He's a stand-up comedian who's been on comedy television and a part of a YouTube sketch group, which is some of the funniest stuff to date.
Absolutely.
And to see him, to be able to see him evolve into being this icon of the Star Wars universe, I don't want to see anybody else considered for the role. And that's just me being a fan of his since he was in Derek Comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely love everything that he's doing almost blindly. But I think his work as Childish Gambino shows that he can take it to another place, whether it be dramatic, whether it be weird, whether it be whatever. He has it in him to push himself. And he's got a new series coming out on FX called Atlanta that's supposed to, that I think will show us a little bit more of him.
Yeah,
as well.
It seems like it's a darker series than
it's getting
he's
a lot of great
before.
Reviews preemptively.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Does anybody else come to mind?
The only one that really comes to mind for me is Chadwick Boseman.
I like Boseman a lot, too.
Yeah, because he really conveys that. I mean, like, people went nuts when he came out. I heard ladies take an audible gasp when he came on the screen for Civil War, and I saw it three times in the theaters. I'm telling you, every single time he came on the screen, the first time he came on screen in all three of those screenings, the ladies would get that inhale. Oh, you know, you get that gasp, you know, and it's not, and in no way is that a negative. We do the same thing when we see someone beautiful as men on screen. So, like, there was no difference, but it was palpable in the theater.
No,
and so he conveys that.
He has a style.
Yeah.
He has
I've just never seen him do comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a way to carry himself.
Yeah.
That he has an immediate presence.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Glover has that in comedy.
Yeah.
You have, he comes on. And the first thing he says, no matter if it's in character or if it's as himself, is you can laugh.
Yeah.
So I would highly recommend if people have only seen him on Community or if you're only familiar with him as Childish Gambino, watch his special Weirdo.
Okay.
It's beyond funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great recommendation,
good.
Man.
Really happy if that is the case. I think that confirms the Sabacc game.
Yeah.
A little bit more so.
Sure.
Because, yeah, why waste an opportunity? And our last story in Duel of the Fates, in News from the Holonet that will lead us into our main topic. Gareth Edwards shared a story shared details about Jeddah, the holy land of the Force, with EW this week. I don't think this is spoilers at all. I think this sets the stage a little bit more for Rogue One. It's a place that serves as a pilgrimage for believers of the Force in a time when the Force is this hokey religion that not everybody believes in widely. It's a place for new beginnings and a place for the lost to be found. And there's even a specific line that's said in the trailer that I can't wait to hear again because it gives me chills.
Yeah.
But it also mentions that the Empire wants to have this land. What do they gain by having the holy land of Jeddah?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because the rumors are that it could be the source of the Kyber crystals, the original source of Kyber crystals. There's all kinds of rumors going around, but to me it just plays into what the vibe they've been doing since the beginning of this franchise, which is the Empire represents, in a way, a version of the Nazis, right? They come in, they take over, they rule by force. They try to destroy their main villains and everything, but like this is just perfect for the next. Because I mean, you saw that in Force Awakens with the First Order. You saw the lineups and the way it was very much what we saw from Leni Riefenstahl's movie in the 40s, Triumph of the Will. And what you see here going on with Jeddah, you see what you've heard about with the Nazis, that they went into occupied lands or they occupied countries and they took their art, they took their special culture, right? The religious artifacts. They took all that stuff and just consumed it for themselves and hid it away. I mean, Monuments Men is based on a true story, that movie about them going in and getting art back, because they knew to destroy the Western culture, you had to destroy their reverence for art. And that, and to consume it, to destroy, to control it, there's another power that they can use for their own evil benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think.
I agree with you. Using cinema and history.
Yeah.
Man, I love having you on this show. I think it definitely cements that we're getting a more... Despite how much the fans don't like seeing political stuff, now is the time when everybody's like, I can use a little bit more politics. And this is showing a little bit more of a reason, like you said, for the occupation of certain places first.
Yeah.
And to occupy Jeddah just before they use this weapon.
Yeah.
Seems like they're trying to silence anybody that has any belief in the Force. And it shows, I think, a little bit of a little bit of a deep-seated fear from that boardroom that we see in episode 4. Yeah. It's like, oh, please, don't come at me with that. When there's definitely, they see the fear in people believing in the Force.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's going to be powerful, and they're going to use it in a way for the heavy religious, for mm-hmm. the zealots, for the people who don't believe. Like, it's used as a place, as a common place, and I think everybody will be able to relate with the idea of Jedha.
And let's not forget that Han Solo in New Hope says it's a bunch of hogwash. You know, mm-hmm. says it's just like he doesn't believe in the stuff about Jedi and all this. And since this is supposed to be right before the start of New Hope, it confirms even more so that maybe that stuff wasn't getting out because the Empire was sitting on it. The Empire was trying to control it.
Exactly.
So that it wouldn't be used to change people propaganda. Against them. Yeah, exactly.
Or there's also propaganda that was just propaganda. Like, don't listen to this silly business.
Right.
But with that, we are going to take a look at the what is considered the official Rogue One trailer. Will we get another one? We don't know. But for now, let's take a look at this majesty. We're going to talk over a little bit of it, but let's enjoy.
Okay.
I also do like how it's on an elevated plateau.
Yes.
The world is coming undone.
It's perfect. It's the perfect line.
Imperial flags reign across the galaxy.
Can you be trusted without your shackles?
Let's just get this over with, shall we?
We have a mission for you. A major weapons test is imminent. We need to know how to destroy it.
The music, too.
Yes.
Are you really doing this? I want to help.
Brand new ship, the U-Wing, we'll talk about.
Good.
I've been in a relationship with the Rebellion for a long time.
We destroyed our home.
Getting a look at our team a little bit closer.
I fear nothing. All is as the Force wills it.
I love that.
And he's supposed to be a Jedi.
The captain says you
from
are a
Jedi.
Friend.
Yeah.
I will not kill you.
Okay, too.
Thanks. There isn't much time. Every day they grow stronger.
There is a 97.6% chance of failure.
He means well.
This is our chance to make a real difference. Are you with me?
All the way.
Oh. But we do get... Actually, I didn't know about this tag until after I watched it the first time. So I was like, oh, that's it. What? So that's our trailer.
So good. So good.
So very good. There's so much about it that I feel is expertly crafted.
Yeah.
And I think that's it.
Yeah.
That's all I need. I do not need another trailer. I do not need another TV spot. We're going to talk about them on the show, of course. But personally, that alone is, I will see that movie tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Absolutely.
This makes me it's weird though. It gives me a feeling the way they presented it at the top. It's like, yeah, we have a mission for you. Can we trust you without your shackles? Is this Star Wars Suicide Squad?
Yeah, I was saying that when I was on Movie Talk for Collider the other day, that it felt very reminiscent of Suicide mm-hmm. Squad.
You get some ballroom blitz in here?
Yeah, right. You get all these people together who from different areas of their lives who mm-hmm. have a bone to pick for some reason about this common enemy. So you get them together and you go after this common enemy. So it very much feels that way. And Mon Mothma, once again, a female kind of putting them together, mm-hmm. Just like Amanda Waller does in Suicide Squad. So yeah, there's definitely shades of it, right? And that guy who, I forget the character's name at this moment, but Mon Mothma's a right-hand man who's there to kind of survey everything,
yeah,
could basically be that character who the actor from Stranger Things is playing, you know, you're surveying the situation and seeing what works, or Rick Flag, but Rick Flag's not. But either way, there's enough shades of it that you can make that comparison. Absolutely,
yeah, and just the tone of this whole thing, expertly crafted. I mean, I already said that, but with the score,
yeah,
because we loved the from the first teaser how it was just reflecting the dark, the Empire theme and the twin suns like over each other.
Yeah.
But having the Empire theme fade into the twin suns theme, yeah, and the hope and the utilizing familiar themes to make new ones.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to love this score already.
Yeah.
And what do you think that? Do you like when people use original scores in new ways?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's perfect because it evokes what you already know, but it takes it to a deeper level. Mm-hmm. Or if it's done effectively, it opens up a whole new dimension for that score. And I thought that's what was so interesting. Right off the bat, you get those tones right off the bat. Mm-hmm. You know, the Imperial March in a slower way. You know, it's akin to what Ryan Adams did with Taylor Swift's 1989 album. He reinterpreted it his way, and some of those songs came out a little bit better his version than Taylor's. And that's or you might like Taylor's version, but you still could appreciate Ryan's take on them. And I think that's what you see here. You have that feeling of like, this is something deeper, this is something darker. And that's what I love about coming out of the trailer. All this stuff, and remember a week ago or a little bit over a week ago that Hollywood Reporter article came out about Tony Gilroy taking over, and he's listed in the credits. Mm. So taking over kind of overall story arc of the film. So you were worried, like, what are they going to do? They make a touchy-feely? They're going to make... No, there's no cute little animals in this thing.
No, but
it's dark.
We did, with K2, get that one funny line, sure, quote-unquote funny line.
Right, but K2 has the Imperial say, like, he's a reprogrammed Imperial droid. Mm-hmm. So that menace that at any moment could come back is still there. The fact that he invokes that he's not going to kill her. Yes, it's funny, but the idea that he could kill her in the world. So that to me is what I love about this trailer, is it gets you back into the camp that it's going to be a gritty, darker Star Wars. It's not going to be touchy-feely Ewok stuff. No offense to that, but it's not going to be that.
But you say that because this needs to have a different tone.
Yes.
This needs to stand apart from the original trilogy, despite being so heavily based in the arguably the most important time in the rebellion.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I will say, going back to K2's line, the captain says you are a friend. So your phone, I think, is a little bit too close. That's what the buzzing is. That's okay. But the captain says you're a friend, not an ally, not a confirmation of he says friend.
Yeah.
And that concept alone means, like, it's not just the reprogramming. There's something else to his story that brought him to the light side other than just being reprogrammed.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see that as well. All is as the Force wills it. Amazing. I just by how badass Donnie Yen is, I knew that he was going to be one of my favorite characters, but now even more so that he is a citizen of Jeddah and grew up there, a blind man who feels through the Force.
It's great because he's a blind warrior monk, which is very much that Zatoichi vibe for those that don't know that character in Japanese cinema. It's so perfect to have that kind of vibe to it, because if you're going to expand the universe, if you're going to create a different type of Star Wars, you've got to invoke or invite different types of characters to be part of it. And I think this is a great choice. The other gentleman from The Raid, I think, his is more of a standard typical warrior who's angry at the Empire taking over his planet, right? The resistance rebel, that's already built in. But with Donnie Yen, there's a spiritual quest here. There's something bigger. And that's what you need. Everyone can be a warrior, but you need somebody to take it to another level. And I think also Mads Mikkelsen will do that as Jyn Erso's dad or father. Like, there's going to be something involved here that's from a higher level. Like, some of them are getting into it for just the basic needs of destroying the Empire. There's something bigger happening for, I think, Mads Mikkelsen's character, and definitely for Donnie Yen's character.
Now that you mention him, I think Mads Mikkelsen's character, Galen Erso, if I remember that correctly, will be... I hope that he is the reason why it's like, we have to go after Jeddah.
Right.
Because the Force is very important. We need the Force on our side regardless.
Yeah.
So I want him to be the spiritual thing that brings Jyn... That makes Jyn sort of against the whole thing. It's like, my dad's been talking about the Force.
Yeah.
For, sort of like Indiana Jones, where it's like, oh, my dad's religious. He believes in all this stuff.
Right.
But through the course of the movie, she ends up realizing how important the Force is, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you for that. We got a look at the U-Wing.
Yes.
A completely new ship from before the time we're familiar with.
Yeah.
That we presume will be wiped out or decommissioned or something. It's a twin pilot transport with a lot of capabilities. What do you think about the design?
Oh, I love it. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. It's compact. It's got, it still has that, it, once again, it, that evocative, the tube engines, they're very evocative. Mm-hmm. So, and the obviously the wings, very evocative of the X-Wing stuff. So,
and I
you
love
know
the,
it's all correlative.
The long,
yes,
thin up front.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry for cutting you off.
No, no. It's, and it's the approach of jabbing, mm-hmm. the approach of it's going to poke holes in this something, you know? And so you get that vibe from it, and that's the feeling you get when you look at it. So I loved it. I thought it was great.
It's like a hummingbird.
yes.
And I'm so much of a fan with it. I am definitely Team Y-Wing.
Yeah.
I might have to fly some new colors after we see the U-Wing in action.
And it's supposed to be drop in and drop out. It's supposed to be almost in essence a space helicopter. Like mm-hmm. it's drop people in and drop people and get out as quickly as possible. So you need that if you're going to have a jungle war or a guerrilla warfare. You need to be able to drop in and drop out quickly in order to survive.
Vertical takeoff.
Exactly.
Just down just makes and sense. Back up and speed away.
And then speed away, yeah. Mm. So I love it.
I love it too. It's a lot. I find it a lot less helicopter evocative than the ships in the prequel trilogy.
Yes.
But I'm a big fan of it. And I hope we get it. It's also evocative of the snowspeeder.
Yes.
Which I think was on purpose. Mm. And we're getting a sense that all of this is to sort of keep a hold of hope. Mm-hmm. I even think Mon Mothma said in an earlier trailer, hope in the darkest time.
Yeah.
And especially with Jin's final line of, are you with me? And the entire team, whether that happens in the same moment or not, standing and being with her all the way.
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty sure we're going to fall in love with every single one of these characters and we'll be at the edge of our seat whether they survive this encounter.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see who lives and who dies.
Yes. What do you think about the Vader reveal?
Oh, I loved it. I think it's just enough. Do we need more? We know he's going to be in it. Mm-hmm. He's obviously not going to be a big part of it, right? But he's going to be in it. And it's just enough to hear the voice, just enough to hear the breathing, just enough to see his back to us. It's called a trailer to tease you. It's to get you excited to see the movie. So we know he's in it. That's all we need to know officially that he's in it. So everyone's cool. Let's buckle in and get to December as quickly as possible so we can see how much he's in it. And hope to God he's not in it as much as Luke Skywalker was in Force Awakens. Hopefully there's more here, you know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something. This trailer was for the average moviegoer.
Yeah.
Because we knew months ago, because of rumors that were leaked and things that were leaked. Also, the confirmation from Entertainment Weekly.
Yes.
But that's because we watch the news all the time. We watch the Star Wars news all the time. So mm-hmm. this was for the regular viewer to go, oh, I know Darth Vader. Maybe I'll go see that movie.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah. And I think this trailer accomplishes so much. Mm-hmm. Final thoughts.
I'm in. Where can I buy my ticket? I can't wait. And nothing's going to deter me and my excitement at this point. That was a perfect trailer. Maybe the next one, if it'll be a small one, we'll have a little more of the Galen Erso stuff, mm-hmm. a little more of what Ben Mendelsohn's character is supposed to do. Like, you only saw him walking through, and you heard the sound, just for one beat, just one beat, and he's right
really
when he's walking
stuck on
through.
That.
I love that sound. It's so great. Someone's choking a whale. And so, like, the way it's so perfect that the sound comes right when he walks through that pillar of people, and then you have that close of anger in his face. You know, it's perfect. So I'm sure the next one will have a little bit more of that. And then we go into what the final thoughts I have is this is interesting because this is supposed to be a very dark take. And the next episode 8 is supposed to be darker than episode 7. So they will be having two dark films in a row. This is going to be interesting to see how Star Wars reacts to this, how as a franchise, how as a company. And I mean, Disney reacts to this as a company, what have you. Because if Rogue One doesn't do as well as they hoped or doesn't do the numbers they want it to do, will this affect how they do episode 8? So it's going to be interesting.
I actually think one of our mind probe questions is about
that. Oh, is it
No, okay. Well, it may be for one of the ones that somebody submitted for episode 100.
You're fine.
But either way, I think it will definitely be a success on opening weekend.
Yes, agreed.
Like as we've been seeing with DC's things that aren't necessarily as critically accepted, they still do record numbers.
Yeah,
like Suicide Squad, for as terrible of a review score as it has,
yeah.
is the record holder for August at this point. It beat Guardians of the Galaxy, which I absolutely flippin' love.
Yeah.
I saw that 4 times in the theaters.
Yeah.
I'm fine with one for Suicide Squad, but that's because I got my fix.
I got my fix.
I got what I needed out of that movie. I don't need another trailer.
Yeah,
we're going to get TV spots.
Sure.
I kind of want to wait to find out more about each of these characters. If anything, I want to get names.
Yeah.
Because right now I only know Jyn Erso, Galen Merrick. Galen Merrick is Starkiller. Galen Erso.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Seeing,
Saw Gerrera.
Seeing new versions of stuff that I'm familiar with, seeing the Death Star upside down.
Yes.
Which makes sense in space, but we just don't. We don't ever see that.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. And as a gamer, seeing the Battlefront moment of the rocket going against the AT-AT, it's like, oh, I relate to that. I was trying to take that down in Walker Assault.
Very smart.
Let us know what you think about the Rogue One trailer in the comments down below or on iTunes. That's right. If you're watching us on YouTube, we're on iTunes. If you're listening to us on iTunes, we're on YouTube. So switch it up. Go to the other place. Leave us a comment. Leave us a rating. We absolutely appreciate it. Helps us get seen in the standings. But let's go on to our favorites. Well, one of our favorite segments.
Yeah.
Because it involves you, the viewer. Mind Probe. That's where you go to our Facebook page. That is facebook.com/Jedi Alliance. We post this every couple of days. Or every couple of weeks to accumulate some more questions. We always get some good ones. We have some folks that are asking questions for the first time and folks that ask them every other week. So you can be a part of that group by going to facebook.com/Jedi Alliance and leaving us a question at Mind Probe. Do you want to – why don't you go ahead and take
a question? Yeah, sure. H.J. Lewin Van, I hope I'm saying that right. Is there a chance we get an explanation in Rogue One why Mon Mothma isn't in A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back?
I think going back to Suicide Squad, I think it's an Amanda Waller thing of maybe it's about her safety.
Yeah.
Or she conducts stuff from behind.
Yeah.
But I think we'll find out.
Well, it's tough to take any spotlight when Leia is running point, you know? So, you know, she was just kind of in the background surveying, like what we read in Claudia Gray's novel in Bloodline. Like, they don't have the easiest of relationships all the time.
Yeah.
So there may have been something going on in the background there between them that didn't let her kind of come to the forefront a little bit more. Or it could be like always. He didn't visualize this whole thing. So, it's, you know, you're kind of working backwards a little bit. So we just have to accept that, you know.
Or maybe it's a case where she's like, okay, I need to really focus on this. We need a symbol.
Yeah.
And so that's how Leia gets involved.
Sure.
And supposedly secretly. And then the direct time is when she gets captured.
There was always someone above Leia.
Oh, yeah.
So why wouldn't it be Mon Mothma in the background?
Totally agree.
Makes sense.
Sam Tannehill asks, if you could have this new trilogy that The Force Awakens kicked off end in any way, in what way would you want and like it to end? It's a lot of options.
Kylo Ren dead.
Oh.
I don't care what anyone's saying. Kylo Ren dead. He killed Solo. He should die. And I think...
Tell us how you really feel, John.
Yes, I'm just saying, I keep hearing these theories that he's going to be... that he's a secret spy and he had to kill Solo to... they got to walk the thinnest of tightropes to make that work, in my opinion. But yeah, I would like to see also obviously Rey as the premier Jedi coming out of this, possibly not a Jedi like we've seen before, possibly what I think we're going to talk about next, a gray Jedi or a dark Jedi. That would be awesome. We have that shades of that with Ahsoka Tano already in Rebels, so why wouldn't we have that in Rey? And people love Ahsoka Tano in Rebels, Ahsoka Tano, and so I would love to see something like that in the trilogy at the end. Obviously Boyega was somebody, I don't know who. Poe Dameron happy as well and surviving. And I think I wouldn't be surprised to see Luke and Leia, you know,
gone.
Yes, I would not be surprised in that way. We kind of have to move on in a way eventually from these characters, and those people eventually have to move on from life as well. So take the chances that you have to take, you know.
Yeah, as long as it works for the story, and then the time period that we get in between 9 and 10,
yeah,
be like, well, they became one with the Force. Obviously.
Right.
To be perfectly honest, I think we should end the Skywalker saga.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Like, depending on who Rey's parentage is, if she is not, I agree the end of Kylo Ren should be a part of the wrap up at the end of episode 9. But I think there should be 1 through 9.
Yeah.
That is the Skywalker story.
Yeah.
And I mean, a family line that storied, starting with Anakin.
Yeah.
Let's let's do three generations. Maybe if there is another Skywalker, catch up with them down the line, or catch up with them earlier. Yeah. But I think 1 through 9, that's a lot of movie. And Clone Wars as well. Like, that's a lot of time to spend with one family. It's a huge galaxy. Yeah. It also opens them up to tell a lot more different types of stories.
Agreed.
I think I don't expect it to.
Yeah.
But that's what I would like.
Yeah.
Our last question, Daniel Jose Molina says, should the concept of Grey Jedi be explored in episode 8? I want Rey to be the first Grey Jedi. The perfect balance between light and dark. As you mentioned, I feel Ahsoka is the first Grey Jedi.
Yeah, I do in my mind. Like, in what we've seen so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Obviously, there's stuff in Clone Wars, too, that you can play around with. But in the main stuff that we've seen so far, I think Ahsoka is definitely bringing us from the mainstream into seeing that possibility. Mm. I absolutely think she should be, and it would be great if she was, because it'd be great to introduce a new concept. And as you're saying, if we're going to close the book on the Skywalker saga and Rey is not a Skywalker, then we need to go into a new trilogy with Rey as our central person.
Exactly.
And why not bring in the concept of the Grey Jedi to separate herself from just being a regular Jedi? Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people think Qui-Gon Jinn was possibly a Grey Jedi as well because of the issues he had with the Council. But he still met with the Council. He still did a lot what the Council asked him to do. So there's a shades of that, you know what I'm saying? And so I think it would be great to have that and to explore a new concept, to explore new theories, to open up more ways to expand the universe again. I'm such a big fan of that. And I know I don't want to just stay with what we have.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
And I think if you end the story of the Skywalkers, whether the two of them survive the end of episode 9 or not, if you start, like, even between 7 and 8, we're not getting a year gap or a 6-month gap. It's immediately after. Yeah. So they're changing the way that Star Wars stories are told. So if you end that at 9 and start, that's when you do your time jump and go 2 years later with Rey.
Right.
And it's the adventures of Rey and the entire team.
Yeah.
I agree, and being a Grey Jedi allows her to walk moral ground and appeal to a lot of different people. But ultimately, Rey is a good person.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the official Jedi teachings that will keep her like, no, let's not do that. I have a better idea.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would like her to be another Grey Jedi.
Absolutely.
Thank you, everybody, who contributed to our Mind Probe segment. That's, again, facebook.com/Jedi Alliance. We leave our picture there every week or so. Let's get on to our Duel of the Fates. But before we get to this week's question, keep the music up. That's fine. I saw you going for it. We're going to review last week's question, which was, should Star Wars keep operating in trilogies or start to play the shared universe game that Marvel is doing, different pieces to the same whole? We got some great responses. John, why don't you take the first one?
Yeah, Corey Donaldson said, I'd be happy either way. Yeah. Simple and to the point.
It's probably my favorite answer.
Yes.
Britta Lou says, I think that they should definitely keep with the trilogies just because it's been a tradition for so long, but there's definitely a lot that can be done through TV to follow what Marvel does. I can agree with that.
Yeah. Matthias Ernst Anderson says, keep the main story as trilogies and expand with standalone and TV. That is also what Marvel does. Iron Man and Captain America both have 3 movies, and Avengers and Thor are both going to get their 3rd movie in the next few years. If a standalone does well, like Guardians of the Galaxy, they can keep building on that. I clean that up for him. But yeah, that's pretely much, I agree with that as well. I think you've got the main story as trilogies, then do the standalones. Trilogies are what we know, mm-hmm. and it's good to do that. I think it's good to keep doing, and we'll see as the universe expands in the Star Wars network, which I know is coming. So.
And I'm fine with trilogies as well, but let's move past Skywalker.
Exactly.
Let's do the Rey trilogy. Let's do however much.
Sure.
This week's question, this duel calls back to one of my favorites from the Knapsack era, as I'm calling it, where we talked about Han Solo's clothing. And because this week we did talk a little bit about Lando, does Lando look better in his outfit from Empire or his attire from Jedi? I kind of flipped the ones that I said versus the ones that are on the screen.
Yeah.
But we have General Lando Calrissian, and I didn't put up his pilot outfit, which seems to come standard with anybody who drives the Millennium Falcon, because clearly Han Solo wore that better. But we've got 2 capes. We've got General Lando, and we've got Flyboy. I remember... Cloud City, what planet was that on?
Oh my god, I hate you.
Sorry, I love you. Absolutely love you.
Bespin!
And his wonderful Bespin clothing.
Yes.
So let us know. We got a fun Duel of the Fates. We're not going to talk about episode 100 because we have a different sort of a show that we're going to be doing.
Yes.
But we will talk about it on 101. So let us know. That will be posted tomorrow on facebook.com/Jedi Alliance. What an episode, John.
Thank you.
You know what? Thank you, John. Man. Heck of a news day.
Yeah.
Really happy I got to share it with you.
Me too. The Blue Apron.
BlueApron.com/Jedi. So what are you up to? What are you going to be working on
guys,
pretty soon?
Yeah, you can always follow me at The Rocha Says, TheRocha Says. You can find all the shows I'm hosting or co-hosting like this one, or all the shows I get to be a guest on. Please, guys, Wednesday at 2 p.m. on the Collider, on 5 p.m. now, I guess, on Pacific Standard Time on the Collider Network. The Top 10 show releases a new episode every week. It's a show I do with my co-host, Matt Nost. We talk about some film that's coming out that week, a new release, and we base a Top 10 films about a theme or actor or director from that and do that. So that's always a blast. Please join me for that.
And also Cinephiles.
And also The Cinephiles, which is my new podcast, which I'm doing with my film professor friend Steve Morris. We break down one classic film before the year 2000 and talk about it. It's on iTunes, Cinephiles, Cine-Files. And we just did Young Frankenstein on Friday.
I have downloaded and I'm very excited to listen to it.
Thank you, Mark.
Not a problem. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. I'm doing... Hi, John. That's all right. I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff here at Popcorn Talk, as well as our sister network, AfterBuzz TV. Also going to be... I can't talk about that yet. But I'm going to be doing a fun show at the end of the week that I can't wait to talk about. So please follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica for more on that. Next week is our big 100th episode. We are definitely getting Joseph Scrimshaw and Ken Knapsack on. We're still working on Maude Garrett. She is a very, very busy woman. Yeah. But... thank you for watching and or listening to Jedi Alliance. You can visit PopcornTalkNetwork.com to find a nice list of all the past episodes of Jedi Alliance and links to both YouTube and iTunes. Please follow us on Twitter at Jedi_Alliance and Facebook at Jedi Alliance for all of the US-related news. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit PopcornTalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.